Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen in.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Y'all looking fine today? It's a little brisk out there, right? Yeah, I flew back in last night from Dallas. I was with a lot of my brothers in just west of Dallas in a place called Mineral Springs at a ranch called Tesoro Escondido. And we were overlooking the Brazos River. And I went to Texas thinking, dude, it's going to be nice and warm and we'll get out of the cold weather. One night it got down to 10 degrees. I'm like, what? God? And but it was an amazing time. There are many, many of the brothers that know you all. How many remember Alan Hawkins, Alan Gale Hawkins? Alan was there, and he sends his love and greetings to you. There were just a number that were there. That Jay Miller, he was here at the gathering. He sends his love and greetings. Guy Contella, he sends his love and greeting. You all leave an impression on people. I don't know if you know that. Look at someone and say, you leave an impression on people. Yes, Lord. I didn't say what kind of impression, did I? Yeah, okay. All right. You leave a good impression. Thank you, Lord. Today is kind of part two of what we're calling reboot. Everyone say reboot. Reboot. That doesn't mean put on a different pair of boots. It's the reboot, as in the digital type. How many have ever had their phone or their iPad or their computer just start acting goofy? And it's like, oh, this silly thing. How many ever had that happen? And what you needed to do was what? Reboot it, right? Shut it down first. Everyone say shut it down. It's necessary to shut down first, right? And then restart it. And in the shutdown, you have to actually let it be shut down for a period of time, right? And how many of you know, like, you're wanting to get stuff done. But because you're wanting to get stuff done, you're wanting to you're wanting to get moving, but it's important to let it completely shut down. Now, the reason you do that is because there's stuff in your computer, in your phone, your iPad, whatever the digital device is, that has kind of built up over the past, fragments of the past that are kind of like hanging around and cluttering up that device. And that's true of life as well, isn't it? How many have ever had the stuff from the past kind of, even though you dealt with it, you ministered to it, you know, hey man, I went to a sozo, I forgave, I did what I was supposed to do, right? I turned it over to God, I put it at the foot of the cross. But there's just clutter from life, right? And sometimes the only way to get rid of that is because it doesn't have any right to be, it's not supposed to be there. But the only way to get rid of it is to shut down. And I really believe that these last 18 months to 2 years has been a time of shutting down the body of Christ to some extent. And the reason we needed to be shut down, how many of you know that all things work together for the good of those that love God, right? The only way to get rid of some of the junk from the past was to shut down completely. But now I find that we are in a season of rebooting. Of turning the computer, turning the phone, turning the iPad back on. And how many of you know you have to let it go through the process of rebooting? Rebooting itself is a process, right? In your computer, maybe like you see like some actual programming content come up and you have no idea what that is, except that you need to let it go through that rebooting process. And what is that? What is the rebooting process? Well, it's very simple. The rebooting process is taking the things that are important and making them the priority. After all the junk's gotten rid of, it's important to reprioritize how this thing operates. And it's true of us as well. You have to prioritize how you operate. We as the body of Christ, we as City Church, have to prioritize how we operate. Problem is you can get caught off in the side stuff and make them the priority. But there's no greater priority than Jesus Christ, Him crucified, dead, buried, and resurrected. And that's kind of the response from a lot of people. Because they'll say, well, yeah. You don't understand. It is the gospel that is the power unto salvation. I had someone preach this to me this week, and I'm telling you, it impacted me so heavily. Because I'm telling you, we get caught up in the music, we get caught up in the style of preaching, we get caught up in whether we have, you know, the right monitor or the right banners or what kind of carpet we have or is the temperature right in the room or is, you know, do I have the right Christian station on, or we get caught up in this stuff. You know, am I being prophetic enough, or, you know, and listen, all those things can be important. But the problem is when we focus on those, you know, people when they're looking for a church, they're looking for oftentimes the side issues, like do they have a good kids program and do they have a choir or do they have a worship team that plays the kind of music I like, and those things are all they're all important, but they're not the priority. And I think we get caught up in those things, and what happens is we end up becoming a people that don't have any power. The darkness just runs roughshod over us because we're not walking in the power of God that we could be walking in. It is not a children's program that causes your children to become powerful people of God. It is the gospel of the kingdom of God that causes them to become powerful people of God. You can have them love their kids' church teacher all day long, but if the kids' church teacher isn't releasing the gospel of the kingdom of God to them, they are going to become powerless children. If you as parents, listen, you can hug your parents and give them enough affirmation all day long, but if you don't release the kingdom of God in the form of the gospel, let me stop there, because I think sometimes we get a little bit confused. What is the gospel? The gospel is just like when you recite some scriptures. No. The gospel is one thing. It is not an encouragement. It is not an affirmation. The gospel is one thing. It is an announcement that Jesus Christ has died, has been buried, has resurrected, and now is sitting at the right hand of God as the King of all kings. And there is nothing that can stand before Him. That is the gospel. There is only one power in this universe that is preeminent, one power that is supreme, and that is Jesus. It is not CRT. It is not progressive thinking or conservative thinking. It is not a particular financial plan. It is not the might of a nation. There is only one thing, one power in this universe that reigns supreme, and that is Jesus Christ, Him crucified and risen from the dead. That is the priority. That's the first priority. And I grew up United Methodist. No, I really did. And periodically we would do this reciting. And we don't do a lot of reciting here at City Church. And you know, that may be a knee-jerk reaction to doing things that didn't have life in them. Because when I was a kid, I didn't always feel life in the traditional things that we did. But the problem was not those things, it was my understanding of those things. Because if I understood what it was I was reciting, I would realize how powerful it really was. There's one particular thing that we did called the Apostles' Creed. Do you have that, Caleb? Did you?
No,
That's my fault. That wasn't yours. I want you to listen to the Apostles' Creed. And how many of you know the Apostles' Creed? Let me see your hands. Okay. Yeah. Matter of fact, if you know it, you can say it with me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended to the dead, descended to the dead. On the third day, he arose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Now, that word Catholic Church is small c. It means the universal church, the body of Christ. See, the problem is right now, suicide is up higher than it's ever been. Depression is up. Our educational system is terrible. Immigration is a struggle. There are a lot of places you can put your energy to fix things. But see, the problem is these things are just symptoms. The critical issues are not racism. The critical issue is not homosexuality versus heterosexuality. The critical issue is the priority of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. Verse 15. Paul's writing a letter to the seat of the rule of the earth. He's writing a letter to Rome, to the Christian Romans. Now, these Christians are positioned there to affect and influence the government that is going out through the whole earth in the Roman Empire. And he writes this. He said, "For so, my part, I am eager to preach the gospel." Everyone say, "Preach the gospel." "Preach the gospel to you who are in Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God." Say, "the power of God." "The power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous shall live by faith,' for the wrath of God," say that, "the wrath of God." I think sometimes we forget about that. I think sometimes we don't want to think about that. We don't want to think about the, "Oh, God's just nice." God's not nice. Listen to me. I'll put that in print. God is not nice. He is kind. He never asks you to be nice, and he chooses not to be nice. Nice is telling you what you want to hear. It's letting you do what you want to do, letting you be what you feel like being. Unfortunately, you feel sometimes like being something he didn't create you to be. You feel like doing something he didn't create you to do. You want to go someplace he doesn't want you to go. Nice says it's okay to do all that because I don't want to hurt your feelings. I don't want to offend you. God is not afraid of offending you. If you need to be offended, he will offend you. The gospel itself is offensive to those who are in rebellion against God. People that want to walk in homosexuality,
want to form themselves into something that God did not make them, the gospel is an offense. Because God says, you may not do that. Now, you can choose to do that and be in rebellion, and he permits that. He doesn't immediately strike you dead. But we know ultimately that the wages of that kind of behavior is death. Come on, somebody. We know that gossip, although you may choose to gossip, we know that when you speak ill of someone that you have no business speaking ill of, we know that God calls that sin. And that his gospel says that Jesus is powerful enough to keep you from that if you choose to come under his lordship. But if you choose to come out from under his lordship and commit that act of rebellion against God and his kingdom, that the wages of gossip is death. We know that if you choose anything that is outside of God's permission, outside of his will, outside of his desire for you, the incredible thing is, his desire for you is your absolute best. Everything that he desires for you will lead to your greatest life. It's his promise. It's our hope. It is his assurance. But God makes no bones that he is not choosing to be nice. He makes you very aware. He puts it within your heart. The Word of God says that his laws are written in our heart. We're preformed to conform to the image and likeness of God. It's how he made us to be. And when we choose to rebel, no matter how much you deny it on the outside, no matter how much you have arguments within your mind that says it's okay, that God himself puts within your heart, if you choose to walk in rebellion, that you are in fact in rebellion. Come on, somebody. That's why it's not necessary for you to point out others' sin unless they choose to ignore it, but then it's only a brother. I don't know that God ever called us to go out and tell people that are not under the lordship of Jesus Christ to tell them about themselves, tell them about their sin. They already know they're in sin. They already know they're in rebellion. They already know they're apart from God. Now, in the house of God, it is necessary for us at times to go to those who are in rebellion against God, even though they call themselves by his name, to go to them and say, hey man, that's sin. Now let's figure out how we can get you out of that. See, because he never called you to call out someone's sin unless you'll walk out their salvation with them. Are you with me? I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of everything in heaven, everything on earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only firstborn Son, conceived in perfection by Holy Spirit, born of a virgin. I believe that. I believe that he suffered, was crucified, dead and buried, died, not in a coma, dead, descended to hell. We're talking in the green room today. It amazes me how folks get upset with God because he's allowing them to struggle with darkness affecting them for a couple hours, a couple days, when Jesus himself struggled 3 days to overcome the effect of sin. 3 days. And he never sinned. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven, boldly seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will stand and judge
the living and the dead. I believe in Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, I can't be known as a son of God without Holy Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit of God. How can you be led by a spirit you don't know? How can you be led by a spirit that you don't trust? I believe in Holy Spirit. I believe in the church, the universal church. I believe she is becoming more and more beautiful every day. I believe she is being conformed to the image and likeness that God intended for her. Do I believe she falls short at this moment? Yes. But so does my granddaughter fall short of who she will be when she marries the man who God chooses for her. She isn't that woman yet. Nor should she be. It's okay that she's 9 years old. It's okay when she comes out and holds the microphone, she forgets what she's supposed to say and looks up at her mom to remind her. It's okay that she's a little girl. It's okay that she laughs at inappropriate times and cries at inappropriate times and fusses about. It's okay that she fusses with her brother sometimes when she shouldn't be fussing with her brother. Because she's 9 years old. We all would agree, let her be 9 years old. Instruct her, correct her, shape her into who she's to become. And that's exactly what the Father is doing to the bride right now. She's just 9 years old, or 10 or 11 or whatever she is right now. She's not perfect. Does she do everything right? No. But it's okay. She's learning. She's growing. Does she put her makeup on wrong sometimes? Yes. That's okay. Does she put on too much eyeshadow and try to draw too much attention to her eyes? Yes, but that's okay. Does she feel like not putting makeup on some days and just be plain? Yes, and that's okay. The body of Christ is not perfect yet. She's not come to the place of full maturity yet. But see, every time you trust God, every time you believe God, every time you confront something where you grow just a little bit, you, as part of the body of Christ, make the body become a little bit more mature. Every time you confront something within yourself that you know doesn't line up with God, every time you do that, every time you speak to your own children and you help them to grow a little bit in the kingdom of God, you grow the body of Christ. Every time you don't become offended, even though what someone did was offensive, you cause the body to grow just a little bit and become a little bit more pure and a little bit better and a little bit more powerful. I believe in the church. We are not in a post-church era. This universe cannot afford to be in a post-church era. The church is the representation of the government of God here on the earth. Yes, did mankind allow the government of God to slip away and be separated from the earth? Yes, because we gave the title of the earth to darkness. But Jesus came by a virgin and walked this earth, suffered under the cruelty of man, took on the sins of the world, descended to hell, put sin where it belonged. What sin? Just the sin up until that moment? God, I hope not. All sin. You say, well, but all sin up until the moment I got saved? All sin. You say, well, but you mean the sin I confess? All sin. How many of you know your sin isn't forgiven because you confessed it? It's forgiven because he took it to hell where it belonged. That was a golf clap. That was like, you guys are so much fun. I believe in the saints. I believe in you. I believe it's important for me to be in relationship with you. I believe it's important for you to be in relationship with me and with each other. I believe it's called the communion of the saints. This thing we do with the bread and the cup, that's just symbolic of our relationship with each other. But I believe that Edwin is important to the body of Christ. I believe that Dave and Debbie are important to this local house. I believe that Kirsten is critical. Her being here, her grabbing hold, her giving of herself and receiving from each one of you. I believe that every one of us, every one of us will be resurrected, every one. Every person outside these doors will be resurrected, everyone. Everyone will stand before God into life everlasting. The question is not, do I get everlasting life? From the standpoint of eternal, how long it lasts. Oh, we all last forever. You can't kill a spirit. I said, you can't kill a spirit. The question is, where will you live out that life? I believe in hell. A doctrine that is going around is that there really is no hell. I wish that were true. I wish that no one sinned. I would like that, except for the fact that if we don't have the opportunity to sin, then we don't have the opportunity to obey. If I don't have the opportunity to reject, I don't have the opportunity to accept. If I don't have the opportunity to hate, I don't have the opportunity to love. And God gives me the freedom. He gives me the choice to love him, you, me. He said that, you know. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. I think the gospel must be at the very center of who we are. And I don't know of anything we cannot combat if we believe in and trust these things. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. I believe if we preach any other gospel than this, we are preaching a false gospel that carries no power. And I don't know about you, but the Lord wants to raise up a very powerful bride, a bride without spot or wrinkle, a bride that can confront all darkness, a bride that can walk in all things that Jesus walked in, and even go beyond what he walked in. That was his promise. He said that you would do greater things than even what he did. That's his promise. And I think it's time for us to believe what he said. Walk on water. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. But to walk on water, we got to get our feet wet. To heal sickness, we got to go and lay hands on sick people. You say, well, but what if I go to walk on water and I sink? Okay, you've done that before, but what if you don't? Well, Pastor, what if I lay hands on sick people and I'm believing God, that God will heal sick people, and I have someone with cancer and they die? There are people dying of cancer all around us. If there's someone who's dying of cancer and I lay hands on them and then they just go ahead and die of cancer, what did I hurt? But what if they do get healed? Then I've confronted darkness with the light and the light wins. Pastor, what if I preach the gospel to someone and they don't get saved? You're saying they weren't saved prior to you preaching the gospel. So what condition are they in now? The same condition they were in prior to you preaching the gospel. So there's been no change. You didn't hurt anything. As a matter of fact, you confronted darkness. But what if they do get saved? I can't tell you how many gospel messages I heard as a kid, but one time it grabbed hold of my heart. I'll never forget. I was 9 or 10 years old, and I'm sitting in a pew right about where Lori was sitting in a Methodist church. And somehow, some way, I don't know how, but see, that's the point. I can't control the gospel. I can only speak it. The power is not in me. It's in him backing up his word. And when that preacher stood at that pulpit in that Methodist church that I had been to hundreds and possibly thousands of times before, as that little boy sitting in that pulpit, somehow God reached into my heart and let me know that sin had a grip on my life, and there was a way other than the way I was walking in. There was a Lord other than the one I was bowing to, and it grabbed hold of my heart, and I ran to the altar with tears in my eyes, and I fell at that altar and knew that I was a sinner at 9 years old. How is that possible? Because the gospel is a power unto salvation. And that little boy fell at that altar, and God changed his life. Did I go through some ups and downs? Yes, but so have you. And you know that power. You know that's what transformed you. And that's what will transform everything around you. That's what transforms sickness to health. That's what causes the natural laws to suspend when the kingdom of God comes and confronts this earth. And that power is in you. That gospel is in you. It's transformed you already. Do not be intimidated by darkness to tell you what if it doesn't. Stare darkness headlong in the face and say, what if it does? There isn't anyone that can stand before the power of our God. And I challenge you, as those who bow their knee to this kingdom, for that power to rise up within you, that gospel of the kingdom of God to confront darkness wherever it sees it. Pray all the time. Speak out loud if you must. For it is sufficient. It is enough. The gospel needs nothing added to. but be fearful of taking anything away from. Stand with me as we close. I'm tired of seeing darkness have its way in my nation, in my region, in my city. I'm tired of seeing darkness have its way in my family. For those of you whose children are living in rebellion against God, call it what it is. Well, they just strayed a little bit. No, sweetheart, that's not a stray. It's they are in defiance to the King of all kings, for they choose not to bow their knee to him. But the power of the gospel says that you have raised them up in the way they should go. That they are not darknesses, they are yours. This is my child that I raised up under the kingdom of God. And that kingdom will flourish in their lives. You cannot be in rebellion. You shall not be in rebellion. For Jesus Christ is your Lord. And I bind every form of darkness from operating in your mind, darkening your mind, causing you to be numbed and blinded to the truth. That is the gospel of the kingdom. Walk in it boldly, fearlessly, courageously. Release it with all confidence that it is not you that have to deliver it correctly. It is God who chooses to back it up fully. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Let me leave you with this one last picture. I saw the earth. And yes, the earth has much darkness in it. It contains, like a bubble around the earth, rebellion against God. It's the only place in the universe that rebellion can exist. Here, on this planet. But that bubble that keeps the kingdom out is fractured. And the kingdom is quickly saturating, quickly flowing in. And it can't be stopped. It can't be hindered. But I believe a time is coming where the fractures are going to become large breaks. And the kingdom of God is going to completely flood and fill the earth. There's a moment that time yields to eternity, where eternity fully floods the earth. We have a time, we have a season that everyone who does not know him can hear about him, can hear the announcement of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that power can be given its opportunity to confront. You don't have to convince. You simply have to allow that gospel of the kingdom to confront. The rest is up to God and that person's choice. But I don't want to hear those words. As we stand with our elder brother to judge the living and the dead, as we stand with our, I'm sorry, you have to know this, you have to understand this. If you are called by the name of Jesus, you will become the ones judging with our elder brother. And I just, I just don't want to have to hear, why didn't you tell me? You held this kingdom within yourself and you didn't tell me? You said you loved. How can you say you love me? You would not tell me because you were afraid of what I would say. My life was on the line. I could have walked in blessing. I could have walked under his lordship. For I cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. Let's pray. Help me, Father, for I am weak. Help me, Father, for I have been afraid. Give me, Jesus, the courage. Give me, Lord, the ability to preach your beautiful gospel. You're here today and you need to make that confession, then just make it. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed, for the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man, a righteous woman avails much. So just right now, just say to the Lord, I have been weak. I have been ashamed of your gospel. Let your courage rise up within me. Let your power fill me. It's your power. It's your courage. Let me not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power unto salvation. And all the people of God said, amen. City Church, go with this wonderful, wonderful gospel. In Jesus' mighty name. And all the people of God said, amen. Go and be blessed.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church, and you can find an easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.